It's a Singapore Today top story with Daniel Martin.
In news just out today, and you know how it goes. If it happened today, I'm talking about it on Singapore Today. Nearly 87% of people in Singapore agreeing that the mandatory death penalty should be used for the most serious crimes, including drug trafficking. And that's according to results of a survey held last year. It's a 10% jump in sentiment from the previous 2023 exercise. Coordinating Minister for National Security and Minister for Home Affairs, K. Shanmugam, shared the finding during his keynote speech today at the Community Resilience Against Drug Abuse Roundtable. Here is Mr. Shanmugam with more from a report by CNA's Sabrina Ng.
Some of the activists keep quiet. They ignore these statistics, and whenever someone is on the death row about to be executed, they try and humanize. They say he's got a mother, a father, a sister, he's a poet, he's this, he's that, and the state is going to kill him. His victims also have parents, his victims also have a future ahead of them, and there are many more victims from drug trafficking compared to the drug trafficker.
I want to talk and understand more about, you know, reflecting on the results of this survey that was just mentioned by Minister, and also talking about the role of the death penalty in a legal system as a tool of the legal system, which is, of course, how it is operationalized in Singapore. Joining me is Head of Crime Practice at GJC Law, Kevin Liu, on this edition of Singapore Today. Kevin, welcome. Thank you for helping us with this topic. Let's start by understanding the legal rationale from a legal perspective. What is behind Singapore's mandatory death penalty, particularly for drug trafficking? Was this inherited from the British colonial system, perhaps?
Hey, thanks, Daniel. Thanks for having me. So, as Minister shared, drug trafficking is treated as a serious offence in Singapore. So, primarily, it's due to its far-reaching consequences. It not only fuels drug abuse, right? It harms individuals, their families, and the society. So our approach to drug trafficking currently is grounded in deterrence. This means that Singapore is trying to discourage individuals from committing such offences. And one of the ways, as you are aware of, is through death penalty, which is our topic of today, I suppose.
It is a very strong deterrent indeed. And as a tool in the legal system, remind us about the power and the efficacy. And also, you know, what we're seeing, the public support for the death penalty for drug trafficking in Singapore, on the one hand, there's that, and it has a very long history, and it's always been a part of the makeup of modern Singapore. But on the other hand, there is this uneasy ethical line that it might hold with certain individuals as well. In the legal communities, is this a discussion as well, the line between the effective use of legal tools and punishments versus maybe public perception?
I think in the legal industry, it's less so a topic because the laws have been there for so long. And, you know, as Minister has said, he has given the numbers for this. The arrests for drug abusers seems to have fallen to half in recent years. The evidence shows that the current framework does seem to be working. And, you know, it's important to note that the mandatory death penalty is not for all trafficking offences. Mm. It's only for trafficking of large quantity of drugs. So this is a key difference. It's intended to send a signal that, you know, trafficking large quantities of drugs could result in serious consequences, but at the same time, it does not punish that severely drug traffickers of moderate to low amounts.
Right. That's an important distinction, and perhaps maybe the point at which not many people are familiar with this quantification of it is because some people might be like, maybe we should help the person, maybe they need help, maybe they're an abuser, that kind of thing. So the nature of this quantity aspect is perhaps to try and distinguish and differentiate between somebody who might be addicted and using it for personal basis versus somebody that has enough quantity that it qualifies as trafficking, is it?
Yes and no. There is a presumption that if you are in possession of over a certain amount, you are presumed to be trafficking. And I'll get back to your question about these ethical concerns, all right? There's a clear line whereby, after a certain amount of, after a certain quantity of drugs, you are faced with a certain type of punishments. In that sense, this certainty helps address some of the ethical concerns because individuals engaging in such activities, they are aware of these consequences, especially when it's clear. So if they choose to undertake such activities, knowing that they will face the consequences, the known consequences, is it really that unethical when it's clearly laid out to you?
Yes, from
Yeah.
airlines announcements on the plane that brings you into Singapore to signage to well-known publication about the laws and jurisdictions of of Singapore. However, it's not just, I mean, just from a legal point of view, it's not just for drug trafficking, right? So Minister did talk about, for example, that most respondents, 87% of people agreeing that the mandatory death penalty should be used for the most serious crimes, including drug trafficking. So there are other crimes in which the death penalty might be meted out.
Yes, that's correct. So murder in Singapore is, you face death penalty as well. So yeah, it's murder and drug trafficking beyond a certain amount whereby you face death penalty.
Would it also apply to kidnapping, unlawful discharge of firearms, abetting the suicide of a person under 18, things like that?
Yes. Certain other offenses would carry the death penalty as well. And funny enough, you brought up this survey brought up by Minister, most of the discussions revolve around this mandatory death penalty surrounding drugs only. You don't see a lot of discussions regarding, death penalty towards murder. Well, less so, right? So in terms of the survey, today Minister kindly shared that, the public is largely in agreement that death penalty should be part of the should be the punishments and should be reserved for most serious crimes. Perhaps we could be more specific in the survey in targeting whether the public thinks that mandatory death penalty should apply to drug trafficking offenses specifically, because other offenses is generally not that controversial.
I must say, 87% signaling their positioning in that way. That's a very strong mandate, very strong sentiment that is being expressed there. And again, like I said, this is not new in modern Singapore. This is not a surprise, or we pulled the curtain back. This has always been known. And again, we see the social benefits of that in terms of, for instance, social, in terms of peace, in terms of drug abuse in public open spaces. I've been to some countries where you do see it out in the open, where needle exchanges are happening in public, where there are, it's become a social problem that requires so much intervention, and so many lives have been affected by it. And that is something, for the most part, most of us in modern Singapore have not had to experience. I think primarily because of the role of strong and harsh punishments in Singapore. So it's not just the drug issue, but also these other crimes, like you said, which perhaps people don't talk about enough. You're right. It's quite interesting to say that
Yeah.
maybe people make comments more about one form of crime rather than another.
Beyond the punishments, Singapore actually addresses, try to address the demand issue as well. So, traffickers and, people possessing drugs and people consuming drugs, you see on the news that people would face punishments, but what's not usually not in the news is that there could be supervision orders given to them. There could be rehabilitation given to them as well. So they're tackling both the demand aspect as well as the supply aspect.
Indeed, the borders issue, the idea of making sure that our import structure also takes into account any gaps or waypoints that might be identified. You're right, it has to be a multi-pronged approach towards this issue. When we're looking through some of the discussions about this and online, in comments and things like that, one thing my team picked up is this idea that many people have repeated this critique that perhaps the nature of its disposition in the legal system, of the utility of the death penalty, lacks judicial discretion when it comes to mandatory sentencing. Explain to us the legalese here. What are we talking about, and is it a fair critique or not?
There is some discretion given to the courts in imposing the death sentence. So if specific conditions are met. For example, if the offender was merely a courier, so if their role was limited to transferring, sending, or delivering the drugs, and provided that, they are certified to have substantially assisted the authorities, or if they are suffering from an abnormality of mind, they could be spared from the gallows. And the judges have the discretion to not impose a death penalty, but provided those specific conditions are met. So there is limited discretion.
It does color people's opinions outside of Singapore about Singapore as well. I remember, like, well over a decade ago, I was on this media trip with journalists from all over the world to this particular European country. And I remember the hosts took a keen interest in talking to me about, how are you? Is life there okay? Are you feeling? And they were and I was like, I was literally sitting next to somebody who came from a country that was war-torn and had a dictator. And I'm like, you're worried about me because of the presence of the death penalty and the impact that you think it has in terms of human rights? So that shocked me a little bit, especially just because of the nature of the situation next to me, a person who had been through a war-torn situation in the last year. That was just odd to me. So how do you feel that this perception, this international perception, can be changed, mitigated, or buffered by Singapore's legal framework? And how it addresses this?
I think we don't rub, we're not as close to, we don't, most of us don't engage in activities that allow us to rub shoulders with death penalty. I mean, so it's funny that they raise those concerns to
yes,
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does the framework of the legal structure in Singapore clearly afford for liberties, for protection, for rights? And it's, if you look at the legal framework and structure, if somebody properly and accurately looked at it, they would realize that the presence of the death penalty in form of capital punishment does not mean a mitigation of human rights or welfare or quality of life.
No, so like I said, the current framework only allows death penalty for a large quantity of drugs. So in that sense, it's just reserved for the harshest of drug offenses.
And does the rest of the legal framework clearly afford for protection in terms of rights and welfare and citizenry and things like that?
I don't see an issue with, I mean, unless there's something specific that you wish to discuss, I don't see any glaring issue currently with the system.
Yeah. So my point being, if somebody did their homework and actually looked at our legal framework, they would realize that this is a country that does indeed prioritize welfare and does prioritize the welfare and the safety of its citizens rather than it being some kind of human rights issue.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you so much to my guest on the program, helping us understand the legal utility of the death penalty within the framework of Singapore's legal jurisdiction. Kevin Liu has been joining me. He's head of crime practice at GJC Law. We're picking up on the point that has been made today by Coordinating Minister for National Security and Minister for Home Affairs, K. Shanmugam, sharing findings during his keynote speech at the Community Resilience Against Drug Abuse Roundtable, where he mentioned and brought up that nearly 87% of people in Singapore agreeing in a survey that the mandatory death penalty should be used for the most serious crimes, including drug trafficking. I'm Daniel Martin for Singapore Today.